First up, though, to say Congressman Steny Hoyer is disappointed in President Trump's 2018 budget request would be an understatement. The Maryland Democrat and House Minority Whip's level of frustration has reached new heights with what he calls the continued attacks on federal employees. Hoyer tells executive editor Jason Miller how he plans to push back against the proposed cuts to federal employee benefits.
I think it's probably the most draconian budget that has been submitted to Congress, certainly in the 36 years I've been here, and some people say in more than a half a century. As it relates to federal employees, it is a continuation of the assault that has been made on federal employees over the last 6-plus years by the Republican majority, and in this case now the President of the United States, to reduce the pay and benefits of federal employees. This is a particularly bad time to do that. We have low unemployment. The competition for services is heightened. And if we're going to keep America great, as I believe it is, and make it even greater, it will be because we are competitive in the market for talented, committed, energetic, skilled people. And if we continue to reduce their pay and benefits, which have been reduced by $182 billion over the last few years, we will be unable to recruit the kind of people we need to have the quality of services that the American people want and need.
There's about four major changes that the administration is offering, and we can go through them all, but of the ones, whether it's the cost of living adjustment or the changes to the retirement, you know, the FERS system, which one stands out to you as the biggest one that you are most concerned about?
They're not amending the Federal Employee Pay Comparability Act, but they're just putting in a figure. A, we want comparability between the military and the civilians. That's been our premise for a long period of time. B, I think one of the worst is the elimination of the COLA for FERS retirees, which means that once you retire, you are frozen, notwithstanding the fact that the cost of living adjustment goes up. The premise we have on Social Security, in a FERS, they would get Social Security, but that is probably by far the lesser amount of their retirement package. And therefore, if you freeze FERS, what you simply do is every year their standard of living will decrease. I think that's probably, I would peg that as perhaps the most harmful of the changes they're suggesting. In addition, of course, they're suggesting a substantial increase in the contribution towards the retirement. And there'll be debate about that as to how much the employee ought to contribute, how much the employer ought to contribute. But if you increase the amount that the employee pays, the employee takes home less, and in effect, it's tantamount to a tax increase for that employee. And of course, my Republican friends speak long and hard and always about making sure that we decrease taxes on people. Doesn't matter whether you increase their taxes or decrease or increase what they contribute for their retirement or for their health care or for other things, it'll still mean, bottom line, less money in their pocket to pay their bills.
We've had this debate over and over again over the years, and Congress has tried time and again, administrations have tried time and again to change the retirement benefits. They think federal employees are overpaid or overcompensated, at least. What can you do this time? How can you convince your colleagues that, hey, without well-paid, well-compensated employees, the work of government doesn't get done as well?
Well, you know, particularly I think we ought to have salience on that argument, because we're now at a 4.5%, 4.4% unemployment. Essentially, economists would say a full employment situation in the country, which means that the seller of personal services, i.e. people seeking a job, they're in a seller's market, they being the seller of their services, because competition is tough. And I think that we can make the argument that you've got a lot of people in the federal government who are eligible to retire, and we need to be in a position where we can recruit and retain quality people to do the kinds of services that will ensure our national security as well as our national economic growth.
Have you had conversations with the Trump administration, with the White House folks yet?
No.
About this? Do you plan to?
Yes, I'm sure I will have, but I haven't had them.
The other piece of this, of course, is the workforce itself. The 2018 budget request looks at about decreasing the workforce by about 1,000 fewer, you know, FTEs among the major agencies. Does the workforce, just getting outside of pay and benefits, does the decrease in workforce, does that also concern you?
Look, let me tell you what I respond to that. I want a federal workforce that is at a level which allows them to carry out the duties that the government, that the Congress and the president give them. Not more, not less. I'm not as worried about the size of the federal government as I am in having the appropriate number of people to accomplish the objectives that Congress asked them to achieve. You know, if you just cut federal employees without cutting their responsibilities and the objectives that you want them to achieve, that's not an honest way to do business. Arguing that, look, we can do this thing with 100 people as opposed to 110 people, that's one thing. But just to say we're going to reduce 10 people without reducing the jobs that they're required to do, then that's, I think, doesn't make sense. And very frankly, the federal employee number, the complement of federal employees, is less than it was 50 years ago if you talking on a per capita basis in terms of the very substantial increase in the population and not a commensurate increase in the federal employees to serve that population. So I think we have a good argument.
How do you alleviate concerns of your constituents, of federal employees across the nation? When you go to town halls, you probably hear their concerns. How do you alleviate them, given that the Democrats are not in power, the Democrats aren't in the White House? There's a lot of momentum toward making these changes.
We're going to argue that there, with our Republican colleagues, that the welfare of the country, the growth of the country, and the making America great, as the president wants to do, is going to require having talented, qualified federal employees carrying out very critical services, as I said, both for national security and domestic security. And I hope that we're joined by a lot of our Republican friends who will make the judgment that, yes, we need to treat our employees in a competitive way. Right now, I don't think we're doing that. We are doing it in my terms, in terms of retirement and health benefits, but we're not doing it in terms of salary. And I think that the package together needs to be assessed, and we ought not to cut the benefits package when the salary package is not competitive in many of the disciplines necessary to serve the American people.